With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The uninvited guest who stays till the end, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Tottenham kept a clean sheet and Michael Carrick left in a hurry. It's Friday, 3rd of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Greetings, everybody. It's a fantastic Friday. The weekend is so close, Andy Brassel. The football will be flowing, of course. But we were treated to football last night. What a game. Arsenal lost 3-2 at Old Trafford. Ralph Rangnick, Jim, was happy in the stands. Michael Carrick did a bunk. Cristiano Ronaldo, apparently still a good player.
Yeah, it turns out, doesn't it?
He's covered that all.
Yeah, actual Penaldo. I can't believe it. Should have seen it coming.
Yeah, but all of those things that I've just said aren't really the big talking point of the match, are they?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was a great game.
It was.
I appreciate Arsenal, you know, would have been better had you got something out of it. But still, though, think of us neutrals, Jim, would
completely.
You?
Completely. No, I enjoyed the game because I felt even at 3-2, it didn't feel impossible that Arsenal might get back into it because it was so end-to-end. Mm. And I felt with my biased hat on, my Arsenal hat with loads of Arsenal badges on it, I felt like a draw would have been a fair reflection of the balance of play, but then obviously the first goal was bizarre.
Yeah.
And Arsenal gave away a silly penalty. But yeah, it was just so much fun to watch. One of the most enjoyable games of the season, I think.
Yeah, and it's been a while since we've seen a good game, perhaps, again with these two, Andy. We remember some good ones, you know, from years gone by.
Yeah, Vish and I weren't particularly high on it yesterday.
No.
And it turned out to be a lot better than I think anyone had any right to expect. Having said that, I do still feel a bit of a hunger for more when I watch Manchester United Arsenal. Maybe I'm just an old guy now who just thinks Manchester United should be a certain thing from somewhere in the period between 1997 and 2005.
Well, this was the sentiment Vish kept repeating on our green room chat yesterday.
Right.
But this is Manchester United, he kept saying.
Mm.
And, you know, he's not wrong.
Starting to worry about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was very enjoyable. Uh-huh. As a match, but I think in the context of Manchester United versus Arsenal, it's like when you're expecting a line from Breaking the Law and you get one from Bring It On Down.
Right, okay.
Not that I'm making any personal...
Bringing in Judas Priest and Oasis together.
Yeah, not that I'm making any personal
niche.
Criticisms.
Very niche.
But it was very enjoyable. And I think Jim, really, we were talking about this before, should count his lucky stars because however difficult and disappointing it was for him to see Arsenal not get the point that they probably deserved, I was watching it in a large function room full of Spurs fans after Spurs versus Brentford.
Mm, what an evening you had.
And, you know, you don't really expect sort of...
That level of banter.
Men in their 40s to go, see! As the goals go in.
It's quite weird that, in reference to when he won the Ballon d'Or. Is that trying to remind him that despite that he, you know, Messi won this one, it's kind of like, no, but you still won it, mate, don't worry. We'll never forget. Is that what it is?
Or maybe it's him reminding himself.
Yeah, but the crowd do it all, don't they?
Yeah, but that's become a thing for a long time now.
Has it been a long time?
Yeah, it's a really long time.
Oh, I thought it was relatively recent.
Yeah, kids have done it in the playground for a good year and a half now.
Forgive me, everybody. Yeah. Forgive me yet again. But yes, the first goal, Jim. Fred stamped on David De Gea. I say stamped, he just sort of caught him.
Collided with him, didn't he?
That kind of thing happens. And then Smith Rowe scored. It was a definite goal. We're all agreed on that.
It's just because it all happened so quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was one of those strange ones where you think like, oh, is that, have they taken advantage of a player being down? It's like, it just happened in such a split second. Mm-hmm. I don't think Smith Rowe was even aware.
No, he just
really
hit
that
it.
He was properly injured, and I don't think he actually was properly injured. It was all just a very, very weird coming together of circumstances, wasn't it?
Which I really enjoyed. Should De Gea have bit his lip and just stood up?
Yes, all of that's De Gea's fault, by the way. It's not Fred's fault.
You expect a higher standard of not staying on the floor from goalkeepers, don't you?
Well, definitely.
It's piss poor.
Stand up at the very least.
Andy, it's not Rob Green for England B, is it? Do you remember that?
That is a niche but excellent reference.
Jonathan Wilson posted that on, I say posted, he put it on Twitter. Mm. And it was right because Rob Green took a goal kick for England in an England B international, kind of injured himself and went down. And who was it? Latvia, Lithuania, maybe?
Belarus!
I was in the right area.
Yeah, we all read the same tweet. It's not like
you read it more better than I did, Jim. And then the striker just scored because you move into the realm of gentlemanly conduct or sportsmanship, whatever you want to call it. It's not in the rules, hence it's called... Yeah. Gentlemanly conduct.
But also, I think the issue now, why this has happened, and this is not to say this is what was happening with De Gea, because we've moved this on to a slightly different topic, I think.
Sure.
But players do feign injury so much now to stop the game and slow the game down that I think it's shifted to the realm that it's probably more likely that they're not injured.
Yeah,
so
no, you're
play
right.
on.
You're absolutely right.
It would be silly to not, naive to not play on in most cases.
Totally, because what De Gea's thinking there is if he goes down, and then Manchester United go to the other end and break away. Well, that's absolutely fine. Whereas if Arsenal come back, it's kind of like, oh, sorry, you're another potential sort of chance or ball into the box is wiped out because I've been injured.
I mean, if Smith Rowe had really thought on, what he would have done is caught the ball with both hands and then got some sort of fair play award for it. A bit like Paolo Di Canio back in the day.
Or the bloke who invented rugby.
Who was definitely doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But it is true, though, when you move into this realm of oh, well, that's not sporting conduct. Yeah, but that's up to the person. You know, it's not within the rules. You know, you don't have to replay the game like Arsenal did with Sheffield United that time.
Absolutely. I think it's so It was such a weird thing that I think the quality of that volley on Emil Smith Rowe's weak foot has been somewhat overlooked.
Yeah.
A hell of a finish.
Yeah, I think De Gea would have.
I know it's going into an open goal, obviously, but the technique on it was great.
It was in the corner, to be fair to him. But it was an interesting way to get the goals underway. Michael Carrick said that if they hadn't have won the game, he would have sort of sat all night talking about that goal. But it was a fair goal. That was the funny thing. We all knew it, but it was just odd the way it kind of went in, of course. And then Fred gets involved in Manchester United's equaliser, which Bruno Fernandes scored, Andy. Back among the goals. We haven't seen him scoring too many.
Yeah, was it 15, 16 games or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was full of righteous rage, wasn't he? After he got the ball back out the net, yeah.
What's his relationship like with Cristiano Ronaldo?
Well, on a personal level,
yeah,
not bad. On an on-pitch level, mm-hmm. they're working on it. Because, I think we've seen that with Portugal as well.
So is it the opposite of Romario and Bebeto, is it?
Well, we've seen that with Portugal. Like, they Fernando Santos, and I suppose you could square it on him, has struggled to fit them in the same team and get the best out of both of them. Mm-hmm. But I think we've seen this season that Ronaldo is not happy to take a back seat, but he is happy to let Fernandes lead. And I think that's something that's going to benefit United over the long term, probably Ronaldo as well. I think they've worked consistently better together this season. And probably, as I've said before, what they're doing with United now is probably quite good for Portugal when it comes to, what, March?
Yes, of course, because one of Portugal or Italy will not be at the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't think you can say that enough times. It's so weird. Yeah.
One of Scotland and Wales won't be at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Less weird.
Again. but we'd like to take them all.
Yeah.
Not Italy, for what you did. how dare you? But unsportsmanship to talk of. I get sidetracked, everybody. I apologise. But yes, so back to the game itself and into the second half, of course. Ronaldo can't help himself, scores his 800th career goal.
Against Arsenal.
Against Arsenal, of course. when you saw, or if you did indeed see it, Alan Shearer's praise for Ronaldo, when you have a great goal scorer like Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry sat next to him and both of them, just in awe of those stats. Both of them are just going, this is... Like, Shearer just kept saying it's phenomenal. Like, he can't find a word that really, truly gets to grips of how absolutely fantastic.
Especially when you remember that he's only kind of recently a striker, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
You're saying he's posh Dries Mertens. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's Waitrose... Dries Mertens. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the inverse Marcus Rashford, I suppose you could say. You know, who started off in the centre and went out wide.
Yeah.
But, you know, absolutely phenomenal. And all this chat about, you know, should he have been signed by Manchester United, blah, 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 blah. When he finishes like that, and when he dispatches that penalty as well like that, the man for the big occasion, Andy.
The thing is, because it's a big moment, or they're two big moments mm-hmm. in a really big game for the Premier League, historically and presently, people's ability to debate the detail of it is completely lost, I mm-hmm. think. It's funny because the idea that should kill any debate over Ronaldo at United any more than before he was the source of all their problems.
Yeah.
Like, neither of those two things are true.
No, you're right. And I find something that Jamie Carragher said on Book Club recently, Jim, when you and Kate did an excellent interview with him. And he said that sometimes these narratives appear in football. And it'd be after a match or a series of matches involving a particular team, particular players. And he said, suddenly there's these narratives appear and everyone just kind of runs with them.
Mm.
And he says, actually, sometimes if you actually watch it back and actually you look into it, it's not quite as what people seem. It may be a journalist or a group of journalists because you can't watch all the football. It's just not possible. No. Do you know what I mean? And I think sometimes that is
underestimated.
Overlooked. Yeah, underestimated. There you are, you see.
Underlooked, whatever.
Whatever, you know. Yeah, exactly. And so people do kind of just go with the flow of, oh, well, that person said that's probably right, and da 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 da. And they may well have interpreted it in a certain way.
Let's treat myself to a broad stroke sort of thing.
Absolutely right. And this idea that Ronaldo can't play at the top level, he can't play in the Premier League, he can't play for Manchester United. Oh, but what about the pressing? What about the pressing? You know, he had an email email yesterday about this. What about the pressing? It's kind of like, well, yeah, there are many other ways to play football. Mm-hmm. And I understand pressing is an effective tactic and it can be used. But there have been far less better operators than Ronaldo and far less fitter operators than Ronaldo in teams.
Also, the idea that this is a new thing, that yeah. Ronaldo doesn't press.
Yeah.
He hasn't done it for a decade.
Karim Benzema has been doing it for a decade. That's who did his pressing for him, you know what I mean? But it's true, you know, like I find it very, very odd that this idea that, oh, well, he's been a bad signing for them, you know. I get the fact that if you want to play a certain way, he may not be the man. And I understand it's difficult to drop him. Yeah. But Big Ralph sitting in the stands doesn't seem to be too perturbed by this, of course.
I mean, it would be quite an opening press conference if he'd have gone, yeah, he's shit, I'm not going to pick him. Yeah.
What, the Steve McLaren, David Beckham?
But he does guarantee you goals, doesn't he? And it is the case as well that he gets you goals in important games. Mm-hmm. At important moments. So if he is going to be some sort of hindrance, that's a pretty nice...
Yeah, the hardest thing to do in football is score.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless you're him.
He really, really doesn't struggle in that area.
No.
So he's always going to be quite handy at least. Gentlemen, we should talk about Michael Carrick briefly because he's gone immediately stepped down as first team coach. He's been at the club for 15 years, of course. It's so, so long. One can forget he played for Spurs and West Ham.
Yeah.
But apparently Rangnick tried to convince him to stay, but his mind was made up. And he did say that part of the reason for quitting, and there was a few reasons, was loyalty to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, which is an interesting one. It's all the banner for Solskjaer's appreciation, Andy. I believe they're going to rename Old Trafford Ole Trafford. What do you make of Carrick stepping down, Andy? He's very popular among the players, by the look.
Yeah, and Rangnick was saying afterwards that, or in this morning's press conference, that it was a decision that Carrick had made weeks ago, pretty much after Solskjaer immediately went. And he's done a pretty good job. I'm really interested to see how he'll work as a head coach somewhere else at some point, because hopefully we'll see him.
Yeah, do you think that's the plan? That he'll go off and be the number one somewhere?
Well, I hope he's
been there a while, isn't he? He's put the work in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has. And I don't know. I think sometimes we project onto players what they should be as coaches, but with Carrick, the way he plotted out the game, it is quite difficult to imagine him not being a pretty interesting coach at the very least, isn't it?
Mm. No, I know what you mean. But we often think that about that type of player.
We do. I think we project what they are as a player onto them as a coach, which is not necessarily reasonable. Like Hoddle wasn't anything like... He had a very different approach as a coach that he did as a player.
Yeah. Guardiola would be maybe... The
two things don't really connect.
Well, Guardiola would maybe be a bit more... as a player, and as a coach.
He's a one-off though, isn't he?
He is a one-off.
One-off super egg.
Well, there we are, gentlemen. Of course, Big Ralph will be in the dugout for Sunday's meeting with Crystal Palace, so we look forward to that. Apparently he said that he's open to the possibility of staying on past the summer as Manchester United manager.
He said if he decides it's the right way forward for
amazing.
The club. I mean, I like that already.
I do as well.
Yeah.
See that grand plan we spoke about? I'll decide.
Yeah. They need that though, don't they? They need someone to come in and properly take it by the scruff of the neck.
You know, make the decisions for them. You know what it's like? It's when like Ram and Dominic, when you're over...
Here we go.
When you're over 60 as a coach in Ligue 1, you have to get ratified by the League Managers Association.
Wow.
So
it's like when you've got a reader you're driving to.
It has to be approved. Yeah. It's a little bit like that.
Like watch 5 minutes of a match and go, well, right, what formation were they playing?
Well, of course, the last coach over 60 who needed approval from the association was Ram and Dominic when he took over at Nantes for that very short period.
Unanimous.
President of the association, Mr. R. Dominic.
There you go.
Wow.
Casting vote.
Perfect.
That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen.
Perfect. Let me take lunch to decide over it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Right, gentlemen. Spurs beat Brentford 2-0 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. They're up to sixth, just a point behind Arsenal, Jim.
Yeah.
It's not too shabby, actually.
This is going to ding and dong all season, isn't it?
It really is. Conte isn't going to allow for any complacency, though.
No.
It was a good win. We can enjoy the win till midnight, but 1 second after midnight, we need to start thinking about the difficult game on Sunday.
I like that.
Yeah, I do as well.
I mean, it was quite attritional. He did more running than any of those players, by the way.
Yeah, he will do.
He was a busy gentleman on the touchline, as you would expect. But
they're building, though, aren't they? They're building.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt that it was quite thrill-free. But on the other hand, they were incisive at the right moments. And they defended sensibly, which is a really, really good start. But, I mean, they were worked by Ivan Toney, but Laurie still had nothing to do.
But they're playing Norwich this weekend, Spurs. These are the types of fixtures that they're coming along at the right time for Conte to just try and get a bit of momentum and go, well, hang on a minute, we are sixth. We're a point behind Arsenal, who, by most accounts, are having a fairly decent season, I would say, despite the result last night. And so, you know, suddenly the idea of fourth spot isn't as ridiculous as it was maybe a few weeks ago.
No, I mean, I think it's quite open anyway, because the top three are like considerably better than anyone else. I think fourth is up for grabs and has been up for grabs for most of this season. I thought what was interesting in terms of the quantification of Tottenham, Oliver Skip, who was excellent.
Yes.
I thought he was the best player on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And he loves those sort of midfielders who give you that energy and snap, a bit like Nicolò Barella, Inter, for example. I think he's a player that you can see becoming really important for Tottenham. On the other hand, I've no idea where they're going to fit Tanguy and Ndombele.
Sure. But
which I guess you could have said about the last couple of coaches. But it's just a source of personal sadness.
But with Skip, though, he was on loan with Norwich, wasn't he, when he went up? So a full season in the Championship, and especially one where you get promoted, you know what graft is about.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You know, it's not just at the bottom end of the table. That all throughout the Championship, there's a lot of graft going on there. So he's got that. But it was interesting. Conte said about Skip, he has to improve with the ball, which is often the case for some English midfielders, aren't they? You can get the graft, you can get all the hard work and so on. He says without the ball, he works very well, very hard. But it's with that, with the ball, and Hoddle said a few things about Skip. He says, I like him, but I'd like to see him go forward a bit more, maybe not so sideways or backwards, be very, very positive. But the thoughts about Skip are encouraging. Conte himself said, in 1 month, I've seen a lot of improvement. Skippy could become a top midfielder.
Skippy?
Yeah.
See, he does love him.
Yes. So we look forward to seeing what he'll do against his former side, Norwich, at the weekend, if he does play. Have you seen, Jim, that Yaya Toure is coaching the academy players at Tottenham Hotspur as he's working towards his coaching badges? He'd like to stick around, apparently.
Yeah, that's a good influence to have, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Well, talking about, you know, trying to get your midfielder on the ball and be a bit more positive.
Yeah,
the Yaya Toure drive. That's what you want. Charging up the pitch, although, to be fair, with a position Skip plays, if he started doing that, Conte might have kittens. But
nice words.
Yeah, there we are. Spurs are playing Norwich on the weekend, though, Jim. Norwich improved under Dean Smith, of course. How would you see that one going?
I think Spurs at home, with their game in hand over Arsenal, which we'll see them go above Arsenal if they win. This is a Spurs win all day long, isn't it?
Yeah, do you think that they've got a good professional job in them like they did against Brentford?
Yeah, I think so. And we're seeing that from Conte, aren't we? Like we're seeing them already start to just click and not like... lose silly games or drop silly points. I think that's just what you're going to get out of him. And I think, you know, obviously Dean Smith has improved Norwich a bit, but they were dreadful against Newcastle. I know they managed to get a point in the end, but to me, that just like they're really sluggish and lacked sort of urgency in, like, you know, 10-man Newcastle and 11-man Spurs are a very different prospect.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear what you're saying. I mean, the aforementioned Brentford, Andy, they take on Leeds United. And Brentford having a decent season in 12th. Leeds are in 15th. Only 1 point behind Brentford. And isn't that interesting? Because people have been a bit concerned about Leeds and very effusive with their praise of Brentford. Now, I understand Brentford are fairly unknown quantity in terms of top flight football in England and obviously a promoted side. But there's only 1 point in it. And with Brentford, with a good feeling, you'd be looking over their shoulder a little bit because Burnley have got a game in hand and a 6 points behind.
I think the thing is with Brentford, you always go back, what, sort of 12, 13 years and you think of Hull, don't you? Mm. When they really came out of the traps.
Mm. A few people have made that comparison.
Yeah, and then sort of struggle from there as they start to get worked out. I'm not especially convinced that Brentford have the depth. I'm not one of those who think they're totally safe, they won't get sucked into it. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've really enjoyed watching Brentford this season, but I don't think they're bulletproof from the relegation battle at all. And the thing is, Leeds have done really well in the face of a flurry of injuries and a very green bench for a lot of this season to sort of just really hang on grimly and have Rafinha provide the inspiration, which is exactly what happened against Palace this week in a game that they probably should have lost, but they managed to hang on. But everyone dug in, everyone played their part, and they just about got it over the line at the end. So I think this is quite a big game already for both of these teams. I mean, Leeds really need to consolidate after nicking that game against Palace and Brentford. I mean, they knocked over Everton, but as was pointed out on the show earlier in the week, I think Vish was saying yesterday actually about Everton that they're in terrible shape at the moment, and they never look like scoring at Brentford.
Yeah.
So
we shall see. Andy, before we go to a break, I believe that you, Dotton, and Lars were talking yesterday about De Classica this weekend.
Yeah, we were. We were talking about all the stuff behind the scenes at Bayern Munich, the return of Erling Haaland. We talked about Atalanta too, and we gave you the lowdown on what really happened in that infamous Belenenses-Benfica game, where, of course, Belenenses only started with 9 players, including 2 goalkeepers, and the game didn't finish.
Absolutely right. Get over to Football Ramble Presents for On the Continent. Right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one on one. Jacob Murphy to win it. Oh, no.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Let's have some emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch. Just email show@footballramble.com.
Yes, and I'll tell you who did email show@footballramble.com. Finn Bright.
Come on, Brighty.
He says, "Hi all. I was thinking the other day about how unfair receiving a penalty is if the player is fouled nowhere near a shooting opportunity. For example, if the attacker has their back to goal in the far corner of the box and gets taken out. Now, this may seem like an atrocious idea to some, but I was thinking of alternative ways penalties could be awarded and taken. What would the beautiful game be like if you had to take the penalty from where it was awarded in the box? For example, if a defender fouls someone on the corner of the box, a penalty is awarded, but the one-on-one kick must be taken from the corner of the box, the spot the challenge took place, and the keeper must still remain on his goal line. I think we would see some very interesting free kick style penalties and some glorious goals. Obviously, where this idea is undone is if a foul is committed about 2 metres away from goal. I guess the kick could be taken rugby conversion style and brought backwards to the penalty spot to then be taken. Looking back over my email, this is probably a shit idea, but whatever, I've written it now. Yeah. Enjoy. So I think the 2 metres thing you fix by just having it it from the penalty spot, right? If it happens in the goalkeeper's... said the goalkeeper's small box, like Graham Souness did that time, the six-yard box, then you would put that at the penalty spot. I think the penalties aren't really broken. Let's not fix them. I think the idea is that don't be an idiot and foul someone in the box. That is a punishment, isn't it? But I like the idea. I like exploring that idea.
Yes.
You would see some really strange ones. If it's from an angle, it's like, well, this is stupid.
Mm.
But I suppose you can technically pass a penalty, can't you? So.
Yeah. I mean, it could add something to the Papa John's trophy, perhaps.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always getting on the Papa John's trophy. But I don't know. To be honest, Finn, some of us like the unfairness of the penalty.
You've got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the trouble with penalty. I totally know what it means. If someone is running away from goal, the ball is probably going to go out for a throw it. I don't know. Goalkeeper.
As Jim says, that's the defender's fault.
Well, there we are. Show at footballramble.com if you want to get involved and suggest some sort of nonsense like that. Back in the Premier League, everybody. Big one on Saturday at 12:30. West Ham versus Chelsea. Mm. West Ham remain in the top four. They've gone three games without a win, though, Jim. Are you worried about those Hammers? Are they losing their grasp on
that
fourth spot?
Yeah, I would like them to keep hammering on. Essentially.
Yeah, I see what you've done there.
Mm.
But at the moment...
Actually, no, I wouldn't, because I'd want Arsenal to finish in the top four. Piss off.
You only want them to finish fifth.
Yeah.
Why not? Have a little bit of love for West Ham.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, bruv.
Yeah.
What do you reckon then, Andy? Mikel Antonio hasn't scored in his last five league games.
He hasn't.
But he's so much more about than just the goals, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
The goals are the main bit, though.
They are the main bit. And mm-hmm. they're the main bit because, of course, if we go back a few years, West Ham have had consistent difficulty getting the number nine that works.
Mm.
And if they're going forward, I mean, this is just an underlining of if they're going to build from where they are. And, of course, they've been great in Europe this season. They're challenging again in the Premier League. They can't just rely on Antonio.
No.
You know, he needs help. So,
well, that's why, Andy, Grant Holt has joined West Ham's scouting department yesterday.
Yes.
Game recognises game. The man should be able to sniff out a striker and maybe help old Mikel out up front.
Yeah, I mean, the logic of this, it's a bit like, well, Janinho's the greatest player to have ever played for Lyon, so he'll be a great sporting director.
Mm.
Can I put a little spoiler in there?
Oh, but
I mean, he's not.
No, a sporting director. It's a different role to scouting department.
I mean, Grant Holt's a wrestler as well, lest we forget.
Yeah.
Will that help in any way?
Well, a striker that's going to fight for every ball and all that sort of stuff. Mind you, they've got that in Mikel Antonio, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it would be interesting to see what they can come up with. I mean, they do share the goals out a little bit at West Ham. But up against Chelsea, it'll be a tall order.
Yeah, and it's a bad time as well, isn't it, to be going through a little bit of a blip because we are coming to this crazy schedule which is going to stretch everybody's squads really thin.
True enough, but you'd rather play Chelsea at the start of the month.
Yeah, very much so.
Than around the
problem
Christmas
is period. They are Chelsea, though.
They're
really good.
They're really good, but Tuchel said that against Watford, you know, he was quite fortunate. They said he was quite fortunate to get the win.
That's it, they weren't really good in the week.
No, yeah. and I understand that with Chelsea, they are really good, Jim. There's no two ways about that. And Luke quite rightly described them as quite machine-like.
Mm.
You know, but I think a side take a little bit of encouragement from another side, you know, giving them a bit of a bruise and saying, actually, you know, on another day, we might have got something from the game. They've also got some injuries at Chelsea, which obviously we don't like to see, but you know, Reece James could be out. We'll see what happens with him. Obviously, Chilwell's got that horrific long-term injury. N'Golo Conte's out as well. Kovacic, you know, he's battling for his fitness and I forget who the other one is. Shalabar, of course, got injured. Mm. Lukaku hasn't got that many minutes under his belt. So, I mean, yes, they've still got a bit of depth in there, but I don't know. I'm intrigued by this one. West Ham will be disappointed that they didn't make more of an impression against Manchester City, despite the scoreline being 2-1. But when Man City play like that, yeah, it's just very, very difficult to get any kind of foothold in the game. But what do you think about this fixture then, Andy? Do you think that David Moyes could be having a little smile after the game?
Maybe. Mm. I just think that Tuchel will have got properly stuck into Chelsea's players after what happened on midweek.
He will.
I think he'll have said Wednesday night wasn't good enough in the bluntest possible terms.
And he will say it in a very blunt way, won't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's been his default position throughout his career.
When is he going to lose the dressing room, Andy?
Because he tends
probably,
to, doesn't
probably about 10 this morning when he but rebukes them over the Watford performance.
But the way he is so intense and the way that he, you know, it works phenomenally well for a bit.
That's the question, though. What he has done here is several levels above what he has done anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, you know, before he arrived at PSG, not that I'm saying it, you know, winning the league at PSG means less or whatever, but he'd won one major trophy before he arrived at PSG, and it ended really badly. Mm-hmm. Now, firstly, he's intelligent enough to reflect on what went before, and people who know him say he is less hot-headed than he was when he was in his 20s.
Oh, he's older now, of course. Yeah. Happens to us all.
And the other question is, are him and Chelsea just the perfect fit? Because that sort of bluntness, that sort of coldness, it does feel more Chelsea to me.
It does, yeah. That's how they win so much, doesn't it?
I know what you mean. And they do like to give their managers a chance, don't they? but he's, you know, he's a proven winner already. Joe Cole said this week that Ruben Loftus-Cheek is driving the train at the moment, which I quite like. Seeing him in the midfield with Jorginho was... I mean, bear in mind, he was on loan at Fulham only last season. They got relegated. Yeah. We know he's got great quality.
He does, but, and this is the really the rebuttal to the injury point, isn't it? That they do have this amazing strength in depth, and they also have hungry players that have got a lot to prove. And one of the things Tuchel's done really well is he has given those players a chance. And that is making for quite a harmonious squad at the moment. Mm. So I think this is still going to be a really tough ask for West Ham. It might not be that Chelsea at full strength, but their strength in depth is such that still makes them a real challenge. But I'm fascinated as to how West Ham are going to approach this. Mm-hmm. I think because Chelsea are so machine-like, it's almost like, well, whatever you do, they're going to have an answer for it. So we might as well just absolutely go for it, especially at home. The crowd will be up. The crowd will be, you know, farting them on.
Yeah. From that recent survey. Yeah, having a go at them, though, is rather difficult, especially when you play a side who are so, to borrow that phrase again, machine-like. But we shall see, everybody. Later on Saturday at 3 o'clock, Newcastle are at home to Burnley. This is the old six-pointer. Andy Brassel. Burnley have only lost once in their last seven in the league. They have drawn five, but still, you know, better than losses, as they say, and is fact. What do you think of this one, Andy? Because when you think of Burnley at the moment, you think of Maxwell Cornet.
Yeah, you do, and he's been fantastic, despite the fact that Sean Dyche seems a little bit weirded out and intimidated by him.
Well, because he produces moments of extreme quality.
Yes, and I think that is
and
it.
And I think Dyche is a bit like, hang on, what? I never told him to do that. I can't tell him to do that.
It's all a bit much, isn't it? I don't need for the top corner.
Cornet has been outstanding since arriving.
Well, in the top Cornet, they're calling him.
Exactly. And it shouldn't be a surprise because this is a guy who scored big goals in the Champions League before. Mm. And of course, he's enjoying the fact that he doesn't have to play left back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much off the leash. Yeah. He's having a great time. The concern I have about Burnley is I feel that for the past several weeks, they've been great to watch. They've played pretty well. They haven't really got the points that they've deserved to get during that time. Mm-hmm. Having played really well for a sustained number of weeks, they're still going on along at less than a point a game. Mm. Now, at least if you're Newcastle, you can go, right, when we get that win, like we're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. But with Burnley, it feels like they can't really play much better than they're playing at the moment. Now, obviously, there are things they could improve. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Burnley are quite close to the ceiling.
But do you want to say this every year, though?
Which is a bit of a worry.
Yeah, but the fact they do it every year shouldn't, like, you know, trick us into believing they're not in a bit of trouble here. If Newcastle win this game, it's an absolute disaster for Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose eventually was, you know, I think I'm right in the 90s, you know, Coventry City did go down. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those ones.
Was
it the noughties?
I think you're right. But I think the thing is with Newcastle, people are saying, well, you know, they're gone already. You know, they're in a terrible position. They are in a terrible position. There's no doubt about that. But I cannot stress enough how much Eddie Howe has changed the atmosphere there. Mm. There's a sense of positivity already that they've not had for years, actually.
And they've been organised in a way they weren't before.
Yeah, they have. And that they did a pretty good job. I mean, he's kind of by default discovered that Federico Fernandez is his best centre-back by what happened to Kieran Clarke. He owes Kieran Clarke, I think, a few beers for what happened in the week. But you look at it, and there's no sense of doom and gloom within the club. And actually, even within the fan base, there's a greater positivity than there's been for ages. And they still haven't won all season. Now, if they get that win, I think, you know, that they could be away.
No, you are right.
You know, they've got a ton of work to do to get themselves out of this situation. And really, as I've said numerous times before, to do the main thing in the short term, which is to make sure they're not completely cut away before they can actually go and buy some players to improve that not good enough squad in January. But for the here and now, the fact that there is a little sliver of light, I don't think that can be underrated.
No, you're absolutely right. Before we move on from Newcastle Burnley, I'd like to say that it emerged this week that Sean Dyche fines players who don't bring cakes for their teammates on their own birthdays.
I see the reason you've not done inverted commas around the teammates is because you're holding your iPad very professionally.
Oh, I am.
Mm. Teammates.
Just the aforementioned Yaya Toure leaps to mind.
Yeah. Do you think the cakes have to be full of worms? Remember that story? Sean Dyche eating worms on the training ground from when he was a player?
That's right, yeah.
I denied it, obviously.
I think with all the other managers banning ketchup and this, that and the other, Dyche is going, oh,
have a cake. Exactly. Have a worm cake. Have a Chelsea. Have a Chelsea bun.
He looks like a gluten-free man to me.
Dyche?
Yeah.
That's good. You can have good gluten-free cakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right then.
Yeah.
Oh, I look forward to having him on, Andy. On your birthday. Okay, gentlemen.
Am I going to get fined for not bringing one in? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Let's try and get this, you know, motion passed.
Indeed,
this, from now on, that happens here as well.
If you consider a dead arm a fine, Andy. anyway, from one well-established English coach to another, Phil Neville. He has admitted this week that he doesn't have any friends. Many friends would be a better way to say that, because he said himself, I don't have many friends. I don't want many friends. Sir Alex Ferguson used to say to us, you only need six friends in your life, the ones that are going to carry your coffin.
You don't have to do everything he says. It applies to all of them.
Just carry the coffin, Jim. That's all your mates are good for. He went on, did old Fizzer. My granddad hated people. He only wanted his family around him. When I used to go on holiday with my two children, we used to go to Barbados and the kids would wander off and I used to drag them back. Like, don't go mixing with those kids. We've got our own little unit here. I don't want anyone infiltrating us. We just didn't like anyone. I mean, he's like the head of Scientology or something. Like
the further quotes in this...
They can't infiltrate us, Jim. They'll find out what we get up to on the beach.
Yeah, so he said that his son is like him, and he, for his 18th birthday, he just wanted to have a pint with Uncle Gary for some reason, to have his first drink, which is quite sweet. But apparently his daughter is a lot more like her mum and a lot more sociable. And apparently, like, they have these battles where it's like, oh, she wants to have her friends over. It's like, oh, really? But we don't like having other people in the house. And he will, like, argue her down to just one friend. It's like, let your daughter live her life, you weird beach wanker. Just, God's sake.
Oh, Fizzer. I always thought he'd be all right, but, yeah.
Well, look, Marcus is your friend.
Some people are like that. Not everybody wants to be a social butterfly. Some people like having a close unit of people around them. That's understandable.
Absolutely.
It's like, come on, let your kids learn for themselves.
It does explain why the Marcus and Phil show hasn't taken off.
Very much Phil, so. Not interested. Just will not get back
very
to us.
Very similar men. But I mean, the idea of don't let anyone infiltrate us. It's the language used.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really telling, isn't it? He says he's got a friend in Miami who's like a golf mate. And it's like...
Is it David?
Where it's like, it makes you wonder, like, he just calls him his golf friend. It's like, do you even know his name? Like, is he just this functional, like, essentially just bit of meat for you to play golf with?
I mean, Jim, we need to compile a list of who the most likely Miamians are.
Yes.
So we've got, you had Pitbull, didn't you?
Is Pitbull from Miami, or does he seem like he is?
I think, if he isn't, he is.
He's bald, he has sunglasses and a white jacket.
I feel like he's certainly been associated with Miami.
He's of Cuban heritage, I think. Yes. Pitbull. So therefore the Miami link.
So who the other candidates? Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop's parrot, I think, has to get
does
in on the mix
Miami,
as well.
Does he live in Miami, Iggy Pop?
Yeah.
Do you know, I tell you, Billy Connolly lives in Florida.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he does.
Right.
Pitbull, born in Miami.
There you go. What more do you want? Imagine Fizzer being mates with Pitbull. Of all the friends, no wonder he doesn't need any other friends.
Fizzer would have no idea that Pitbull is like a rapper. Like, it's just his golf mate.
Yeah. Was it Mr. Worldwide? Was it? Yeah. Wow, they'll
come. Irvin Welsh, he lives in Miami, doesn't
he? Does he really?
Oh, he's miserable as well.
I love them to be mates.
Yeah, they're mates.
Him and Fizzer get
you found
on well.
Out. You found out who it is.
Yeah.
Either him or Pitbull, because he doesn't need any other mates, because he gets all Pitbull's hanger-ons.
So we
Mike
reckon...
Ashley has a place out there, doesn't he?
Oh, come on.
So, right, we reckon it's Fizzer and Irvin Welsh on the golf course with Iggy Pop's parrot caddying and, like, Mike Ashley waiting for them in the 19th hole.
There you go.
There we are.
That's a day out,
isn't it? Phil was furious about that. Oh, another person.
My goodness. Right, gentlemen. Before we get to Betway's four to score, what about a bit of Friday night football tonight? Fulham versus Bournemouth, top two in the championship.
Be lovely.
Scott Parker derby. Do you know there's reports that Bayern Munich are scoping Alexander Mitrovic?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't
it's a weird one, that, because obviously I'd hate it if he left Fulham, but a part of me
you
would
really
think...
You begrudge him that, though, could
No, you?
You
couldn't begrudge him it, and a part of me would think, you see, I told you he was good.
Yeah.
You know?
They have gone weird backup number nines before with Sandro Wagner, so let's not rule it out.
Let's not rule it out. Let's hope he stays at Fulham, though. But yeah, so it'd be an interesting one tonight. Let's hope he bangs in a load of goals. Presumably he's fit. I think he is for tonight's game. Anyway. Betway's four to score. Entry to Betway's four to score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the £50,000 jackpot, which of course is weekly. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one, Leeds United versus Brentford at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Jim, who have you gone for?
I have gone for Daniel James.
Mm-hmm.
I think Leeds badly need a win here. They need to put a run together, don't they? And I think... I think Daniel James is going to be the man to do it, to start that off.
I see. Game two, Manchester United versus Crystal Palace, Sunday at 2 o'clock as well. Andy, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Cristiano Ronaldo, despite every fibre of my being wanting to pick Jadon Sancho.
There you are, you see. Game three, Spurs versus Norwich, also at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Pete Donaldson had the pick.
I am going to go for Timo Pukki because he is a very streaky player and he scored against us in midweek. On the Amazon. So, Pookie. Thanks.
There we are, you see. He's going for the Finn. And game four, Aston Villa versus Leicester City, Sunday at 4:30. I have gone for Ollie Watkins. So there you are. Daniel James for Leeds United against Brentford. Cristiano Ronaldo for Manchester United against Crystal Palace. Timo Pukki for Norwich against Spurs. And Ollie Watkins for Aston Villa against Leicester City. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18, of course. Do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Gordon Bennett.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is where I'm fucked.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to Marcus's game. That's right, managers, baby. Jim and Andy. Oh, Jim, you were beaten by Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, and I was beaten by Andy last time we played as well. I'm not on a good run of form.
No, you're not.
I'm not good at this game.
You are good at this game, though, Jim, particularly the managers. It was a great upset that Pete Donaldson sprung, of course. But Andy Brassel, you are the lineal champion. It is yours to lose. That's what happens when you go to the top. Everyone's trying to gun you down, Andy.
Charming imagery.
Indeed it is. So, of course, we do managers, just to remind you all, the difference between this and the players is managers, we do count their national teams. B teams, under 21s and all that, we don't count them. Full sides, full professional sides that they have managed. National teams count.
Right.
Are you clear on that?
I am clear on that. And Jim and I both have a pen and paper this week. So it's serious.
Oh, my goodness. Righto. Let me get my buttons ready. So, Jim, Andy is the top seed, of course. So you will go first. And the first man has managed five teams.
Okay.
It is Frank de Boer.
Frank the Farmer.
Frank the Farmer. And he's got that look in his eye.
Yeah.
It's a very tired look.
You've been looking at me all the time. Ooh. I am exhausting. Five teams.
You are.
Frank the Farmer. Jimbo, are we getting close to a bid?
I'm going to go for three.
Three? I think Andy's going to go for four.
I think
here.
He is too.
Andy, can I hear four from you?
I'm going to go for five.
You're going to go five. Of course you are. I love that. You see, that's why he's the champ. He could go four.
Because he's good.
Yes. Yes.
I thought you were going to say a git. You can say that as well.
You thought you were going to go, you all thought four, but he's going to go for five. All right, Andy, five teams that Frank de Boer has managed. Far away.
Ajax. Inter. Palace. Atlanta United.
That's the one.
Netherlands.
1-0, Andy Brassel. Fair enough.
Didn't have Atlanta or Inter.
Atlanta was the one.
I had a bit of a panic that I'd misspelt Atlanta as Atalanta on my piece of paper. Though the pronunciation
and
I
would have done that, Andy. 1-0 to Brassel. Great start, all five teams there. Tricky one, though. Atlanta was the one that maybe people might not have had. But there we are. Right. We move on to the second manager. He has managed eight teams. Hasn't managed for a while. We haven't seen him for a while for bloody good reason. It's Ron Atkinson.
See, when you said we hadn't seen him for a while, I was thinking Kerbishly.
No. Poor old Kerbs, eh? Ron Atkinson. Eight teams. A huge character in the game of football, of course, for many years. For better or for worse?
For worse.
Andy, can I have a bid?
I'm going to go for four.
Four, that's the sweet spot, isn't it, Jim? That's annoying. What do you do here? You're 1-0 down.
I feel that would involve a couple of guesses on my part, but I feel like Andy's probably quite confident on the four.
Never know, though. He did think Roy Hodgson managed Chelsea.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't.
Yeah, don't worry. I thought Gonzalo Higuain didn't play for Chelsea. Jim, are you going to go five? So tricky, isn't it? You're going to try and save.
I'll just get it wrong. I just want to...
Fair enough.
I want to give Andy the chance to slip up.
Fair enough. Okay, then, Andy. Four teams that Big Ron Atkinson managed.
West Bromwich Albion. Manchester United, Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa.
Yeah, well played, sir. Well played. Cambridge United is where he started. West Brom, as you say, Manchester United. Atletico Madrid. Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa, Coventry City.
I had Coventry in there.
Nottingham Forest. So did you have...
I had Man United, Villa and Coventry, and I thought West Brom might be one, but yeah, I wouldn't have got the five, I don't think.
There we are, okay. You don't have to show your workings, remember?
No, I just want people to know that.
Yeah, you're trying. Do you want Andy to know that? No, that's the question. All right, then. Jim, you need this. You're 2-0 down.
I do.
You're up against it. But people have come back before in this game, even against Andy, believe
it
or not.
And also, to add to the tension, I think my pen might be on the brink of running out.
Pen's flat as shit.
All right. Manager number three, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. He has managed five teams. It's Roberto Di Matteo. That's an annoying one, isn't it?
It is.
That is an annoying one. Five teams.
Let me just Google that.
Yeah. Don't worry, everybody. I confirm that Jim is not Googling anything. Don't worry about what Andy's doing. Concentrate on your own game.
Yeah, that nay was not that.
Yeah, once scored an FA Cup final, and the other goal scorer in that game...
Eddie Newton!
Come on, Jim, I'm trying to buy you some time here.
Yeah, you're distracting me with Eddie Newton, is what you're doing, though.
Jim, I'm going to need a bid here. You're right up against the ropes.
I am.
Come on, what have you got?
Two.
Two. Two teams, Andy. Can you do more than two?
I'm going to go four. I want to make sure of this.
Brassel and his big kahunas is going to go for four. Jim, can I get all five?
No, you can't.
No, I didn't think so. Andy, Roberto Di Matteo, for the win this, how many... you said four. Please name four teams that Roberto Di Matteo...
You have placed me in a position where I have to say MK Dons.
Very good.
West Bromwich Albion. Chelsea. Schalke.
Andy Brassel wins.
Yeah.
Saw that one come in.
When Andy's on that kind of form, Jim, a bit like Manchester City,
you just got to
sit back and take it, really.
You really do. Shake it.
MK Dons, West Brom, Chelsea, Schalke, 0-4, and Aston Villa was Roberto.
Villa, of course.
I've forgotten that.
Yeah.
But that's, you see, if had you have remembered, that's why Andy goes for four.
Mm.
He goes for the kill. He's like sub-zero, is Andy Brassel. He freezes you and then he beats you up. Okay, well, not literally, Andy.
Good.
Okay, gentlemen, well, we've got two more to go. Let's enjoy ourselves on this Friday. Andy, you're up first. This man has managed nine teams. It's Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert's managed nine teams.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
These are the tricky ones that... that you probably want earlier on in the game with Andy, although Big Ron was potentially that, but Andy knocked old Big Ron out of the park. Paul Lambert, 9 teams, Andy. Can I get a bid?
I'd start with a little 4.
A little 4. I mean, that's not too...
4, yeah.
Jim?
I mean, I might as well have a go, right?
It's up to you. Yeah, I tried this against Lars and it blew up in my face.
Yeah, go on, I'll have a go.
Can I go 5?
No, but I'm going to try.
No, are you going to bid 5?
Yes.
Right. Andy, can I hear 6 from you?
No.
Okay, I thought Andy was going to go, yeah, I'll do 7. All right then, Jim. 5 teams that Paul Lambert has managed.
Norwich. Aston Villa. Ipswich.
Yep.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Ah! Unlucky, pal. Unlucky. Wickham Wanderers, Colchester United, Norwich City, Aston Villa, Blackburn Rovers, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Stoke City, Ipswich Town.
Ah, Stoke I should have got.
Did you have those, Andy?
I had Colchester, Villa, Norwich, Ipswich.
You see. There we are. So 4-0 to Brassel to avoid the whitewash, Jim. This man has managed 8 teams. It's Ian Holloway.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How many?
Ian Holloway.
No, how many?
8 teams.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Ian Holloway
how
doesn't
many
answer.
Ian Holloway, yeah.
Sacked in the morning. Don't think so. Yeah. Remember his little hamster? His little pet hamster chewed through 2 of my suits, the little bastard. Remember that? That's what he said.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. 8 teams, was it?
Yeah. There's a sweet spot here, I think, Jim.
Yeah. I'm not interested in it.
No.
Go for 2.
2, okay. Andy, can we hear more than 2? Are you going to, like, properly volley this in off the bar like you've done 8. With some of the others?
You go for 8, you coward.
I'm still writing. I'm not completely sure. But
Andy, his Mortal Kombat and Finish Him has just come up on the screen.
All right, I'm going to go for 5.
Yeah! Oh, big balls, Brassel. Jim, I'm not even going to ask you
Don't
for a
bother.
6.
Yeah.
Okay, 5 teams Ian Holloway has managed.
Queen's Park Rangers.
Easy.
Millwall. Grimsby. Blackpool. Bristol Rovers.
It's 4-1.
No way. He played for Bristol Rovers, didn't he?
Take it.
Hoist by his own petard.
And this game will be remembered for Jim Campbell landing the last blow.
The moral victory.
The last goal, the winner. We've just changed the rules. We haven't really. It was Queen's Park Rangers, Plymouth Argyle, Leicester City, Blackpool, Crystal Palace, Millwall, back to QPR, and then Grimsby Town. No Bristol Rovers, I'm afraid, my man.
Right.
Sorry, big man.
I can't believe he didn't put Palace in there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you should have.
Little moral victory for Jimmy at the end there. But ultimately, Andy Brassel keeps his crown or his belt, whichever. It comes however you want it.
Because I got the last one so spectacularly wrong, mm-hmm. am I not the lineal champion, but the linear champion?
Andy, you're all the champions, don't you?
Yeah.
Worry, pal.
Yeah, have you united all the belts at this point?
Well, the people's champion, obviously, you don't get a belt for that. You just get a lot of hugs when you go in the streets.
Which is like a belt. Like
yes,
a human
exactly.
Belt.
Right. They provide that. That's absolutely right. And that, to me, is the real prize, Andy, no matter what you do or I do. There we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Absolute pleasure having you with us. It was also a pleasure hanging out with yous on Green Room yesterday. We're going to do more of that, so do get involved. It's a lovely old time. Look out for the announcements for that. Back on Monday, of course, to talk about the weekend's action. Enjoy the football this weekend. But until then, say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
See ya, everybody. Ta-ta.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.